All right. I'm back. The other computer is still rebooting, so there is definitely something wrong. Please keep that in your prayers. If I could find two cheap computers, that's what I'll do. I need one for here, and I need one for my wife, because it looks like her board's going, too. Or something on the board's going. Not the whole board, but I don't have the tools to... I got ways to test power supplies, but that's it. Anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your Holy Spirit, blessing us with a desire in our hearts to make you smile. And thank you for giving us opportunities to make others smile, even deep within. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy, and letting us be alive in these days. Please bridle my tongue and all of our tongues all throughout the week, so that when we share our faith, we don't offend, even though the truth offends, but we're not going to be offending in a Christian way to where we'll be committing sin. And thank you for blessing us with these tools that we have to do this work for you, as well as your word, that without it, all of this would be impossible. And thank you again for blessing everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And for those of you that might be listening on WTPR over the next few years, as you start hearing some of these sermons and stuff where all of a sudden there's no music in the start and the end, computer issues. Let's just leave it there, all right? All right, let me just see if I can get all this stuff to pop back on, because I like to be able to monitor WTPR, and there might be a little bit of an echo coming in here. Okay, that's running good. Oh, we got 14 families on the radio now. Okay, good. The echo's not coming. Oh, boy. All right, and it seems I'm getting in the chat room. But oh, there it is. Okay, so the YT stream is in the room. And now I'll turn the stream on the monitor on this one. It still says live. Okay, good. So everybody's still there. Now I got to change and put the notes up. There we go. All right, so we are... this sermon is Antichrist, or Pope is Antichrist, part 10. And I don't know how many are left. Two or three, maybe four. I don't know. And so, but this week, I might touch on two points, depending upon time. But right now I want to do the one about Babylon. And the reason I say time is because Babylon, to expose them as Babylon, I could go on for days. As a matter of fact, there is a page on my website about the horror of Babylon. It's got literally hundreds of things that the Bible says, that Babylon will do. The Vatican has done each and every one of them. It is uncanny how, it's just like with Christ. Hundreds of prophecy talk about what Jesus will do when he came here. 2,000 years ago, and he fulfilled all of them. Now, if you fulfill only eight, that, because I do that in the beginning of that one flash animation, I think I did in the video too, where I show, if you only fulfill eight of the prophecies, the odds are so many quadrillion and one or something like that. In other words, it'd be easier for a man that was blindfolded to be placed in the state of Texas, and before he's placed in the state of Texas, to make it 4 feet deep of silver dollars, and paint one of the silver dollars red, and then tell the blindfolded man to go anywhere in the state of Texas that he wants to pick up the red coin. But he can only bend over and pick up one coin. According to the statistics, it'd be easier for him to pick up that red coin than it would be to fulfill eight prophecies in one man. But hundreds were fulfilled in Christ, just like hundreds were fulfilled in Antichrist. And that's why we're on part 10. And so, praise the Lord, he gives us this much information on how to know where we need to be and where we shouldn't be. So this week, we're going to look at Antichrist must be a Christian. And I put this in quotation marks on the Antichrist page, which I'm updating as I speak. But he must be a so-called Christian church or run a so-called Christian church that embraces the teachings of Babylon, because Revelation 17:5, the very first verse you see in the notes there in the stream and under the chat room, for those of you that are new, scroll under the chat room, you'll see what I mean. But it says, Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so, by the way, for all those that declare when I capitalize a word here or a word there in my pages or in my videos, I'm not yelling at you. If they were all caps, yeah, then I'd be yelling at you. But I'm making a point. And seeing how angel number two is part of the final loud cry movement, you need to understand that I did not capitalize these words in Revelation 17:5. Okay? I didn't do that. Your God did that. So as to make it clear as to his warning unto you. Okay? Now let me get some water here. And so, but, okay, well, hold on. Let me get the, take this straw out. Okay. In the scriptures, we find a prophetic explanation of the church of Antichrist. We've learned earlier that a woman in prophecy equals a church. And so common sense dictates that a mother is most definitely a woman, even in this politically correct society. So therefore, this mother in Revelation 17:5 is a church. Problem is, this mother is a whore. In fact, she's a mother of many whores, the prophecy says, or harlots, however you want to call them. And so this means that many churches the world over will spawn out from this church doing as she has taught them, you know, to do, you know, to follow her adulterous lead. Just like Sister Fran was sharing earlier when she says, okay, which commandment is adultery? And all the kids answered number 7. And then she showed it's not just physical adultery, it's also spiritual adultery. In other words, you go to an apostate church, Jesus said, come out. You go in, well, you're committing adultery. So looking through history, one will find that upwards of 43,000 denominations have spawned off from the Roman Catholic Church. Prophecy defines this woman as a whore, and so this means she will be an apostate mother or mother church to all those that do as she suggests. And by the way, this is why many years ago I stopped making videos on YouTube for about 2 or 3 years, because I put up a video where Rome put up a commercial. I think it was a 10 or 15 minute commercial where it says, come back to Mother Rome. And so it upset them, because what I did is I took their commercial and I stopped it every now and then and pointed things out, like what you see on the screen, and I would put a Bible verse to say, okay, here's a problem. And so they didn't like that. They pulled it on YouTube. They yanked it because they said the Catholic Church got a little annoyed with it. And so I stopped making videos. I says, well, where's the sense of making the videos now, right? But it's on John14:29.org, but it's an FLV, and so until I convert the FLVs to MP4s, it's still going to be a little bit out there. But we all know the truth on this, and so it's not like I'm, you know, in a big old hurry to get it done. But all throughout the Word of God, we see an apostate church being likened unto a harlot. I mean, even Jeremiah 3:6 says, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Kind of sounds like what we're saying to the SDAs today, right? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. SDA Church has done that to the hilt, to the point where they even go and get the green trees. Because the prophecy speaking of here is the literal reality of how the pagans worshipped Baal and all these other false gods under evergreen trees. And then they would eventually bring them into their houses and call them Christmas trees, you know. Oh, the Seventh-day Adventist Church puts them, even though the spirit of prophecy says, if you're going to bring the tree in, bring it in like a potted plant and make it as unlike the world as possible. But that one video that, Dwight Nelson goes out there and says Allah is God, and he's doing it during a Christmas church service. Look behind him. Not only did he got the vulgar wreath, you know, the round one all over the place for Baal, as well as other vulgar things, the Christmas tree's right behind him, covered in garland, covered in lights. It even has that spewing thing on the top, but they call it a star. And then underneath the gifts, just like exactly like the world does it. So they've given up. So they're playing the harlot. So in context to this verse in regards to Israel, Israel is the bride of Christ. But the word says here that she seeks another husbandman or husbandman. So doing so means she's cheating on her husband. You know, she's playing the harlot. And she's still doing this today. So, this practice of the evergreen tree, you know, the Christmas tree and all that other stuff, that's, I don't want to get into detail about that because I have a page all about that on the website. You know, the evils of Christmas or whatever, or Christmas exposed, but there's a section just about the tree and it's pretty bold and how vulgar it really is. And I don't like talking about stuff like this when I know kids are going to be around. So this is not just for the Jewish believers that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Israel, as we learned earlier, and we know, we've known for many years that it's a Gentile believer as well. Because Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 8 says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. In other words, why bother writing it if you're not going to believe it? For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. In other words, the Muslims aren't Christians, they're Muslims, aren't believers, Allah is not a God. That's why he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be cut, not in Ishmael. And so they which are of the flesh. And it's amazing the Lord just opened that up right now, as a matter of fact, to me, in certain aspects in regards to they are not the children of God, they are the children of God. But, you know, the Catholic Church is very, very clear on how they like to take God's word and do the exact opposite. And so they've been saying for a long time, over a century, that the Muslims are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they're saying Allah is God, and that's why the Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing the same thing now. But there is one more defining feature of this church that I would like to bring to your attention. We already understand it to be a whore, but what type of whoredom does she commit? The prophecy states that it'll be a church that embraces the teaching of Babylon. Could it be the Christian prophecy is that accurate? Is there a Christian church that claims Jesus Christ as Lord while also a church that embraces Babylonian or pagan worship? I know where I'm going. You all know where I'm going with this, but for the sake of those that are new, you might not know. The Lord God, who is a God of divine order, gives us many identifiable facts that point to this very church, so many that it makes it overwhelmingly easy for a child of God that trusts their Heavenly Father and His Word to see it plainly. And so please understand that this is a major key in identifying the Church of Antichrist. For there's a lot of keys, but this one is a major one. For if you do not trust your Creator, or His Word, for that matter, then it may be you in this passage that's being described as one who embraces the flesh over and above the Holy Spirit. For it is written well in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But what I'm about to share with you is a list of documented admissions of the Roman Catholic Church proving it's overwhelmingly connected to Babylonian paganism. Then afterwards, I have a rather extensive list of facts regarding dogmatic as well as ritualistic beliefs, both found in Roman Catholicism, Babylon of old, and sadly, all of the apostate churches of today. I also have a flash animation on the website that shows numerous pictures of archaeological findings regarding ancient Babylonian beliefs, statues, rituals, and day-by-day activities that have an uncanny resemblance to things that you can find in pictures of the Roman Catholic Vatican and all their harlot churches, including the SDA. This flash animation is about an hour long, and it has blessed many since I was blessed with the opportunity to create it many years ago. In fact, when I started toying with creating flash animations because I like programming. Because now, I don't know if you could make them probably easy now, but back then you literally had to program all the movements and everything like that, which was kind of fun for me. So numerous websites carry this animation on their sites, and it's in the miscellaneous section of the main page of the website. Just scroll down to where it says flash, and then there's another drop-down menu, or just click this, like go down to the box 7, you know, Horror Babylon Flash, it's right there, you know, box 7 in the notes for the sermon series. And I know it's an hour long, so I built a menu within it so you can stop and start the animation any place you want. So now, on with the Roman Catholic Commissions. They honestly admit they do as Babylon taught them to do in writing. I mean, check this out. This is so arrogant. And I've shared this quote before. It's an essay on the development of the Christian doctrine by John Henry under an expose or a chapter titled Cardinal Newman, starting on page 359. It's also in other books that I source out here as well. But Cardinal Newman admits in his book that the use of temples and these dedicated to particular saints and ornamented on occasions with branches of trees, incense, lamps, and candles, votive offerings on recovery from illness, holy water, asylums, holy days, or holidays like we call them today, because this is an old quote, and seasons, use, like, you know, summer, winter, you know, yeah, spring and fall, the use of calendars, processions, blessings on the fields, sacerdotal vestments, the tonsure, the ring in marriage. Yeah, it's a vulgar pagan symbol, by the way. Turning to the east, images at a later date. I don't know why he says that, but I think he goes into something there. But then he talks about the ecclesiastical chant and the Kyrie eleison. And then he says, all are of pagan origin and sanctified by their adoption into the church. And so they even admit it. So the Lord would never allow his people to sanctify the rituals, the idols, or doctrines of pagans. I mean, we see this clearly in Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32. Do we not? I mean, it's just so, this is what it says. It says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, you know, for following those things, that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. I mean, think about it. Where's the sense in that? But these people did this stuff. I mean, they just know that these nations were destroyed because they were going against God. And so they're going to say, well, I wonder how these nations did their gods, you know, over the course of years, because their faith starts to get complacent with their surroundings, right? So anyway, it goes on. It says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods, just like the abortion clinics did this day. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. In other words, stay with that which is written. Rome not only embraces the idol worship of the pagan nations, they actually admit it. In this, what Cardinal Newman just said. He says they were adopted by the church, overwhelmingly declaring that they're a whore of Babylon. 1 Kings 18:21 says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And we all know what happened next with the fire coming from above and all that, right? But it's just like with today. Your Bible says Sunday isn't the Sabbath. You're right? Why are you following? Why are you going to a Sunday keeping church? Your Bible says come out of apostate church. Why do you go in? Your Bible says don't do these pagan holidays. But why do you celebrate Easter and Christmas and Halloween and all this other garbage? In other words, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You know, it's like nothing's changed over the last 4,000 years, you know. I mean, how can anyone claim to sanctify anything that the Lord has said in the first place to be left behind? It's just amazing to me. And by the way, I'm going to share some of these facts here. I'm only going to share a few of these quotes because I can scroll. Let's see. I'm scrolling now through all these quotes, and I think I'm only going to read. Let's see. I'm going to go into the stream and read them on the stream instead. Yeah, box three. I'm just going to read those because you wouldn't believe how many of these I got. All right, so the first one, it says, the penetration of the religion of Babylon became a general and well-known, or became so general and well-known that Rome was called the New Babylon. And that's from a Catholic publication called Faith of Our Fathers in 1917. Cardinal Gibbons put that together. It was on page 106. Oh, I'm not going to read the sources. They're all right here on the screen because that'll just waste time. Next one here, it says, confiding then in the power of Christianity to resist the infection of evil and to transmute the instruments and appendages of demon worship to an evangelical use, the rulers of the, that's right, they're worshiping demons in all these apostate churches. You know, because they're obeying a demon, they're worshiping him. It says, the rulers of the church from early times were prepared, should occasion arise, to adopt or imitate or sanction the existing rites and customs of the pagan populace. The next one says, the Catholic Church took the pagan philosophy and made it the buckler of faith against the heathen. She took the pagan Roman pantheon, Temple of the Gods, and made it sacred to all the martyrs. So it stands to this day. That's why you have these big cathedrals and, you know, or even, you know, what do they call these things? Places where they have big sporting events, you know, amphitheaters. Anyway, she took the pagan Sunday and made it the Christian Sunday. She took the pagan Easter and made it the feast we celebrate during the season. Because they're talking during, this is a Roman Catholic weekly they put up. They admit this stuff. It's like Satan laughing. Because he knows if they're not reading the Bibles, this stuff is not going to be a big deal to the Catholic. It goes on and says, the sun was a foremost god with heathenism, or heathendom. The sun has worshipers at this hour in Persia and other lands. Hence, the church would seem to say, keep that old pagan name, Sunday. It shall remain consecrated, sanctified. And thus, the pagan Sunday dedicated to Baal, or Balder, became the Christian Sunday, sacred to Jesus, which is a bold-faced lie. It's not sacred to Jesus. This next one says, the mighty Catholic Church was little more than the Roman Empire baptized, and the Roman Empire was pagan. We all know that. Caesar was a pagan. That's why they, and Herod was a pagan. That's why they celebrated Easter. Okay, hold on. He's got a weird flash on the other computer. Everything went black for a second. All right, so going on, it says, from ancient Babylon came the cult of the Virgin Mother Goddess, who was worshipped as the highest of gods. That's Queen of Heaven or Mary worship to this day. In order to attach Christianity great attraction in the eyes of the nobility, the priests adopted the outer garments and adornments which were used in the pagan cults. And that's why Catholic priests wear that black robe with the white collar, and during a mass they get all that, you know, that fancy robes, and the Pope wears the robe all the time. He's always all fancied up, and he's got the Dagon hat, which if you take it off and put it down on a table, it's an open mouth of a fish, and those things that run down his back are the scales, because back in the, and I even got that flash animation where I show the scales and everything. They used to literally put the head of a groper on their head and have the scales run down the back. They gut the fish and keep the head and put it on the top of their head. It's disgusting, but that's what they did, and that's why the Pope wears that to this day. So going on, it says, the church did everything it could to stamp out pagan rites, but had to capitulate and allow the rites to continue with only the name of local deity changed to some Christian saint's name. And that's why you see in the Vatican, you got that statue of Peter with his foot sticking out, where it's been worn down. It's a brass statue, and human lips have worn it down to where you can't see the toenails and the wrinkles on the toe or nothing on the big toe. So many people have kissed that thing over the years. Because before it got there, it was being kissed by pagans, because it was not Peter, it was called Jupiter. That's why there's that halo over his head, too, for Baal, or Balder. So going on, and the last one I'm going to share here is, long ages ago, when Rome, through the neglect of the Western emperors, was left to the mercy of the barbarous hordes, the Romans turned to one, it's hard to read this because I'm reading it from the stream and it's a very small section of my monitor where I got the stream showing. So figure four, They turned to one figure for aid and protection and asked him to rule them, and thus commenced the temporal sovereignty of the popes. In other words, to create a man on earth that they can worship a god, another god on earth. And I got a ton of quotes where the Pope calls himself a god. Anyway, and meekly stepping to the throne of Caesar, which is a pagan, by the way, the vicar of Christ, vicar means replacement in English. So the replacement of Christ took the scepter to which the emperors and kings of Europe were to bow in reverence through so many ages. So there you have it. So, oh, there it just did it again. I think that other computer is about to die. Because it couldn't find the hard drive the other day, too. So both screens just went black, and then but it stayed black for about a second. So anyway, but notice this. Notice how Babylon invented the doctrine to worship the pagan sun god, and then notice the Christian Church of Rome adopting 100% of the pagan doctrines, giving them Christian names. What you're going to find here is both shocking and heartbreaking, to say the least. And so many devout people have been talked into worshiping the creature over and above the creator himself. And again, I'm only going to share a few of these. I don't think I even put these in the stream. Because this scroll, let me just scroll down and see where the bottom ends. Oops, I just lost connection on one of these. It stops at number 53. I got 53 sections that are described. Like, for example, section number one is called The Nativity of the Sun, or The Birth of Tammuz on December 25th. Well, all people that believe Christmas is the birth of Christ, you have the Nativity of Jesus or Christmas, and it's held on December 25th because the pagans worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. And winter solstice happens on the, you know, between the 23rd and 25th of December, and so that's what that's all about. Number two, the Midsummer Festival, the pagans were held on June 24th of each year. Well, the Nativity of St. John is held every year on June 24th. The Assumption of Semiramis, who became the mother goddess of all pagans, is now the Assumption of Mary, who becomes the mother god to all Catholics, or mother goddess. The mother goddess was given the title and worshipped as the Queen of Heaven to the pagans. And Jeremiah 7:18 even confirms that. And he also says, Jeremiah says that angered the Lord. Well, the Virgin Mary is given the title and worshipped as the Queen of Heaven by all Catholics. And then cakes are decorated to this goddess with a cross. Like they call them today hot cross buns. That's what it was, hot cross buns. And but that's Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 17 and 19. And that's also where they're giving, like a peace offering unto her or whatever. Well, the Catholics do the same thing, calling them hot cross buns. Are baked for Mary in most Roman Catholic churches. And then I'll share one more about the Queen of Heaven. She's supposed to be the wrath subduer of the pagan god, you know, because he's always angry, he's always ticked off, and so the Queen of Heaven has to come and calm him down, right? Well, Mary, the Queen of Heaven, supposedly subdues the wrath of Christ and his Father against all sinners. And that's why when I left the Catholic Church, some have told me that because I had a problem with Mary. I used to pray the rosary, right? And I put it down, and I says, I can't continue praying to Mary. I got to go directly to the Father, because Jesus said to pray to the Father, right? And loved ones that were Catholics told me, I says, well, if you've ever angered somebody and had a fight with somebody, don't you like to have somebody as a mediator to go over there and talk to them, calm them down before you walk up? I said, no, but some people do that. I says, you still have to go to the Father. That's how they get around this, right? And so they say that you got to pray to Mary so that you can subdue the anger of the Father so that now you can go to him and seek salvation. And then I'll share just one more, two more. All right, yeah, two. Okay, now, this is found in Ezekiel 8:14. You got the 40 days of fasting before Easter, and that's done for Tammuz. Okay, the other monitor just died. And it's not coming back. All right, so that could be the chip, too, because I put a new chip on it. And so, let's see. So 40 days before Easter, and that's done for Tammuz. And then this last one I'm going to share, it's also in Ezekiel chapter 8, but it's in verse 16. It has to do with what they call Easter week or spring break. The pagans call it was an actual sexual feast. It's done right before Easter. So you get all your sins out, or right before Lent, rather, and then to get all your sins out, do as much as you can. Then you have your 40 days of fasting or whatever. Catholics and all the Protestant churches are now embracing Lent. It's a 40-day, you know, thing, fasting thing. But it's not, you don't eat for 40 days, you just don't eat fish on Fridays. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church not only does Lent now in a lot of their churches, the pagan or literal pagan festival of Lent, there's a video on YouTube I saw years ago, and I put it somewhere on the site. I can't remember where it's at because there's just too much on the site. That's why I built a search engine in it, and I still can't find it, but it's on the site, where it's a video of a Seventh-day Adventist church service starting Lent. I'm surprised it didn't do Ash Wednesday, because that's the beginning of Lent. It was somber. There was candles all over the place. There were no lights on. It was really dark and dismal, and they had the purple robe on a cross, just like the Catholic Church. Absolute duplicate to it. So, all right, so let me scroll down past all these. I'm not going to share all these. There's just way too many. Everything from the solar wheel to, you know, statues. It's all paganism. And so I guess I can share because started a little late. We got about five minutes or so left. I'll go into another prophecy. And this prophecy has to deal with Antichrist must join with the kings of the earth. Okay? Okay, I got to make sure. Am I still on stream, by the way? Because this monitor just died on me. Okay, I can't even. Let me just try hitting the escape key. No, it's not giving me anything here. Come on, you can come back. I've seen you do it before. Oh, boy, this is crazy. Can somebody PM me? Am I still on the? Are we still on the stream? Hello? Am I in the room? I don't get this. Why? Yes, okay. Thanks, Gabby. Thank you. Okay, so I'm still on the stream. All right. Thank you, Lewis, Brother Lewis. Thank you, Eli. Thank you, Brother Anthony, Brother Eli, Brother Lewis, and Brother Earl, who's kind of Gabby, and Brother Alvin. Okay, I know. Okay, we're on the stream, so no need to PM me anymore, but yeah, blank screen to my left, and the other one crashed. It totally locked up, so I'm assuming I'm still on WTPR, because that's where I was monitoring WTPR. So that is definitely a video call. Oh, it just came back. Okay, so yeah, the video card, I'm going to have to go shopping. So, Antichrist must join with the kings of the earth, and we'll finish with this one, and I think it's all of 5-6 minutes. Revelation 17:12, it says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And by the way, Doug Batchelor really messed up on this one. I even mentioned this in a video where he said that the 1 hour with the beast starts before the plagues, when it's at the end of the plague. So, you know, he's part of the problem too now. Well, he's taking photographs with pagans. You know, pagan, they look like witches. But on his right, there's two Catholic priests. The other three look like hooded monks or witches, kind of very, very extremely pagan dressing. I mean, even for Rome, it was pretty bad. And he's smiling, you know, right in that picture. I got it on a video. But anyway, were you aware that as of the year 2000, there are over 175 ambassadors to the Vatican? Power is kings for 1 hour with the beast, right? They're going to be joining with all the churches, all the nations of the earth, the kings of the earth. But were you also aware that every one of those ambassadors, as well as each delegate from each of those nations, must have at one time or another bowed before the Pope in an act of worship by kissing his ring? I mean, keep in mind that the Vatican is not only a religious organization, it's also a bona fide nation, as we learned earlier when the 1929 Mussolini, you know, treaty, the Lateran Treaty between Mussolini and Gasparri, Cardinal Gasparri. That's when the mortal wound started healing. I mean, the Vatican is the only religious organization that literally has a seat in the United Nations meetings. to this day. Some say it's a like a temporary seat and all this stuff, but no. I did a newsletter on this years ago and a radio thing on it where we saw that it was permanent. And it's the only religious organization in there, you know, for obvious reasons, just like prophecy, because it's their baby. United Nations is their baby. It's just a testing grounds to get the one world government. It's all it ever was. It's just like what they did in Europe with the European Union. That was to test the waters for a global movement towards a new world order. And so the Vatican's religious organization has joined with the kings of the earth, just like the prophecy said, right? I mean, it's that accurate. Rome does this, so the Vatican uses its national status to perform religious acts it deems necessary in their long prophesied global agenda of the mark. And all nations that have any interest in such global movements have already stated they agree with the Vatican in writing, as well as in the so-called global immigration movement. It used to be when a nation was in war, you would see one or two others experience an influx of immigrants to escape the fighting, right? Isn't that how it goes? Like if you got a war between two nations, the people in those two nations will, you know, look for other nations to live in for a while. Those were, you know, seeking political asylum. Well, not political asylum. Those are leaders would seek political asylum, but the people themselves, they just want to be, they don't want to be, get, you know, killed. Somebody, you know, having war in their backyard. And so, but yet, now today, there are now immigrants seeking asylum from dozens and dozens of nations. But try and find these nations listed in one place. I tried, and I could not find one. It appears, in other words, have a big list of all the nations that are, you know, people are leaving to seek asylum. I couldn't find that list. It appears many nations are mentioned as having people fleeing them. I found that, but nowhere could I find all of them listed in one place. How can there be so many immigrants from so many countries when there are only a few small wars going on right now? Seriously, that's why they won't make that list. It's because the Club of Rome has been moving on their final orders to join forces with the Pope. They have openly joined with Rome on many issues. And the Club of Rome is a real title. That's what they call it. In the 60s, it was formed. But they've openly joined with Rome on the many issues of global importance that they believe, they actually believe, will grant them the power and wealth that they crave. In fact, not a single nation makes a major move or adopts a national policy without first making sure it doesn't go against anything the Pope's planning to do. Because a lot of the political movements that the Pope does are secretive, and they won't even tell the people that are in agreement with them. So they have to, you know, constantly have the ambassadors going back and forth to say, okay, is this going to cause a little bit of a problem for what you guys are doing? Because if it is, we're not going to do it. Because if they do, Rome will most assuredly use the power of the lamb-horned beast, which is the United States of America, to keep them in line. Plus, as of the inception of the Roman international court system coming to existence in 1999, all nations know that it would not be a wise decision to go against the Vatican, because once the Vatican takes the majority of the Congress in the United States, which we know they have done for decades now, hence the reason Pope, he had no problem speaking before Congress a few years ago in, what was it, 2015, or, you know, when David Gates set up his false prophecy. The other nations now know that the USA is going to protect the Pope and his interests. Prophecy declares that the lamb-horned beast in Washington, D.C. is not only bowing to the Vatican's suggestion regarding warfare, all that Rome seeks in the way of control will be implemented soon. This is why, why regardless of what the media pumps before the masses, as students of prophecy, we know what's going on. And we've warned people decades ago, and it caused them, many of them, to laugh at us. And we, and like the pages I put on my website about like the socialist agenda of Rome, they're all laughing when I first put it up, like 10 years ago. I can't remember how long ago it was. But it's a reality now right here in America. I mean, look at the 2020 election. The Democratic Party, 100% across the board, all raised their hand for socialism in America. So the laughing stopped. But you see anybody apologize, that's not going to happen. And I don't need that. I don't care if they're going to apologize. It doesn't matter. Hopefully your eyes will open, though. I mean, after all, the mark of that awful Roman beast cannot be enforced without a socialist society. And thanks to all the 501c3 government-approved pastors, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, doing exactly as prophecy said they would, it's going to happen a lot faster than most realize, because you can't enforce the mark, which is a religious mark. Seriously, every time you see the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation, you see the word worship right there with it. And so you got to understand that it has to be a church and state. Stephen Bohr, Doug Batcher, all the rest of them, they're lying when they say, no, it's just the government going to do it. No, they can't do it without their pastors doing it. Because the government can get so many people involved and agree with them. But if they get the pastors on the same page as the government, then they can get everybody involved. Power corrupts, absolutely, but absolute power corrupts globally. That's why Rome did what it did when it became a church and state global power during the Inquisition. And that's what they're going for again. It's amazing. I mean, the leaders in all the nations of the world know that to go against Rome is going to be futile. Many historians tie all the modern-day wars and most of the wars of the past, all the way up to the start of the end times in 1844, to the Roman Catholic Church starting up these wars. And so, in short, the prophecy is sure when it is said that who's like the Eye of the Beast, who's able to make war with him in Revelation 13:4. And, of course, some believe this final hour prophecy spoken of here is yet to arrive when all the kings were joined with Rome in its globally realized attack on the true Christians that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, even coming out of the defiling churches, you know, the apostate churches. We're not defiled by those women. That's why we're out of it. But that day has already come behind closed doors. They are just waiting right now for the final go-ahead from the dying God of this world to finalize his plans for Armageddon. So the kings of this world are already on the same. The Club of Rome, like I said, was formed in the 60s. It's already on paper now. And so that's going to be their final act of rebellion against the Creator God. If you're Seventh-day Adventist and you trust false prophets like Doug Batchelor or Walter Veith or Stephen Bohr and all the others, you may actually believe that the day that day comes before the plagues begin, just like Rome planned, so that you won't be ready. You'll be part of those that were talked about in the book of Hosea. Oh, blue screen of death on the other computer, yeah. I just lost the other computer completely now. So anyway, but because they're telling you it's all going to happen before the plagues begin, but how? How can that be when prophecy says they will only have power for 1 hour with the beast? And then that act will end with their total destruction of Jesus Christ himself, splitting the eastern sky to put an end to their blasphemous reign. So how can that 1 hour come before the plagues when prophecy says that it's when the plagues end that we go home? And so again, being in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, or worse yet, in the coming days, when their sins are much, much worse, means you will not be ready for what's to come, and it's all on you. It's all your fault. Okay, I got a black screen. Post, no, yeah, it's the motherboard's not posting. So, anyway, getting back. And I'll close with this. 2 minutes, tops, I think. And just so you know, you can see about how we, you know, the remnant of her seed, know all these things as the Lord blesses our research across the church, wherein we all work together as one now. As of April 1968, we see clearly that they already had the foundation on, you know, the Club of Rome, the sentence. I mean, check this out. And before reading this, if you're a student of prophecy, keep what Daniel said in mind regarding the 10 toes that I've done a bunch of videos on recently, and it's in box number 7. Let me scroll down here. There. 10 toes of Daniel videos. This headline, it says, Adaptive Model of Global World System. It says, the club, and I put in parentheses of Rome, because in context, that's what they're talking about here, but it says, the Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968, when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome, and then I gotta put a space there. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. The club's findings and recommend... Now, listen to the language they use here at the end of this quote. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special high confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. On the 17th of September 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. Back in 73, a year after I got kicked out of high school. That long ago. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it refers to as kingdoms. They actually use the exact same terminology expressed in the prophecy of the prophet Daniel. The Lord stated they would have 10 kings in the end that will rule the world, and the Club of Rome declares there will be 10 kingdoms in the coming days under the New World Order, which, by the way, was first declared as a New World Order by the Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler. For more information on their plans, you need to take a look at my June 2006 Truth Provided newsletter. And that's the last link in box number 7. And I really hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.